Joining us right now, jack of all trades, America's top sports guest, and now really America's top sports host, whether it's TV, whether it's radio, doesn't matter. Follow him online, Sean Unfiltered. It's my good friend, Sean Salisbury, our good friend, Sean Salisbury. Sean, it's Dave and Katie. Thanks for joining us, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good, man. A lot of stuff on the plate, and I know you have your show, of course, later as well on the BN Network. I'm sure you'll be hitting this hard. Let me get the hard hitting question out of the way right off the bat, Sean. You know, it's Shark Week. I'm pretty sure if I'm not sure if you're a Shark Week guy or not. Michael Phelps raced a shark, and everyone was all over this, and it had a ton of viewers. You know, it turns out Michael Phelps, I didn't think, Sean, that Michael was going to be racing side by side with a free shark. You don't want to do that. You don't want to see, you know, multiple gold medalists eaten on national TV. What I didn't know, Sean, was that Michael Phelps was racing against a digital shark, that it wasn't a real shark at all. And I don't know about you, but this is America. And I think when you have Michael Phelps is basically a walking bald eagle. And when you perpetuate a fraud like that on the public, I happen to get upset about it.
Yeah, I'm a big Shark Week guy. I'd like him to change the documentaries, I think, more often every year. But
yeah, they're pretty standard now, huh?
Yeah, I've seen some, you know, we've seen them. But I'm a Shark Week guy in a kind of a fun way. And you know, I'm intrigued with marine biology. I had a guy from Long Beach, one of his shows was on last night about Los Angeles, about, you know, the influx of sharks in the Pacific Ocean and stuff. And I honestly asked him, I said, is it like, are sharks like some animals, if you don't bother them, they don't bother you? And he kind of agreed with that. He said, now, obviously, you kind of got to be smart and wise, but why not put Michael Phelps in the water with a real shark? Maybe not a great white, but one that's maybe not as, I mean, if somebody bites a leg off, oh well, it was good TV. I mean, that's the risk you take, right?
Jeez.
I mean, he's got enough gold medals. Heck, sacrifice a leg for the people, man. Come
but
on,
not
Michael.
A digital so, shark. That's yeah, fakery.
He actually wanted to race a real one.
Doesn't matter.
It's to me. I mean, I didn't know when they first announced it. I said, well, how's this going to work? Is he going to swim in his pool and the shark's right in the ocean next to him? I said, how's the shark going to go straight and know what? I didn't watch it. I didn't watch it. I thought it was a fraud anyway. Just another way to get people to tune in. Now Michael Phelps is awesome, obviously, and you don't want to put anybody in danger. But if you don't want to put him in danger, then race something that's not like when someone, one of those sprinters raced a horse. There's nobody in danger there. Let's go. So.
Well, you can actually make a horse go straight. You can't make a shark do
what
you want it to do.
Blood in the water or a body in there that's bleeding. Exactly. So to me, it's kind of, I mean, I understand the introduction to Shark Week, but if you're going to introduce me to Shark Week, make it real. So
thank you.
I'm glad nobody got hurt, but yeah, don't give me the fake stuff. I don't need that.
What is it you say? Don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining?
Don't piss in my face and tell me it's raining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn right. Sean Salisbury with us. All right. So,
please go ahead. We're going to actually transition to something that matters right now. Did you by chance see the press conference with Jason Garrett yesterday of the Dallas Cowboys, Sean?
I saw bits and pieces of it. I like Jason, but the constant nonsense coming out of there and the way that they protect, I mean, it makes me throw up in my mouth. So I can only stomach so much of it being here in Texas, trust me.
Well, and the crazy thing to me is they obviously made a mistake. And Lucky Whitehead is the one that is suffering from that. Now, according to his agent, there's plenty of teams that are going to be interested in him. But when you make a mistake like this and you come out and you say, we made the best decision for our team and we're going to stick with it moving forward, that's in essence what he said 8 different times when asked about this. At what point do you expect a franchise like the Dallas Cowboys or any other professional franchise, when they make a mistake like this, to come out and say, hey, we made a mistake, we're sorry. It's not like they have to re-sign him, but at least own it, right?
Yeah, and the timing's curious, too, when they say, well, we were going to get rid of him anyway. It had nothing to do with this. You know, it's such a crock list. And I don't understand in society and sports why we're afraid. Like, what's going on with the Kyrie LeBron thing? Who said he said what? Well, what's the problem if Kyrie says, I want to be traded, I don't want to be around LeBron? You may piss LeBron off. Oh, well, and? Okay, whether we think Kyrie's right or wrong on where he wants to leave. So what? The same thing here. Why can't a team like the Cowboys step up and say, you know what? We jump to conclusions. Now, I don't know if the guy's going to have to compete during training camp. And if he wins the job, great. If he doesn't, then like anybody else, that's how we compete. Why can't you step up and say, we screwed up. We're going to be transparent about this. We jumped the gun on fall. I mean, when it wasn't him, we made a mistake. Then everybody would say, you know what? Who hasn't? Who hasn't jumped the gun when some news has come out and we've criticized somebody and said, whoa, let's take a step back. That wasn't true. Or whatever the case. I don't understand it. I don't understand why you've got to look at us and tell us. And you know when he says it that many times that he won't answer the question that's right. He's covering the franchise. They made a mistake. Everybody knows it. Now, if you wanted to cut him, fine. But wouldn't you have waited till camp started so you had the extra body in camp? He's a guy who was on the team. They're not fooling anybody. We know it. Teams all do it. And I'm tired. The Cowboys just seem to do it more than anybody else. I don't understand in life what's wrong with admitting you screwed up. We all do. The Cowboys aren't above it. They're sure as heck not the only ones that have done it. And I just don't understand why you can't sit there and, you know what, stand up, raise your hand and say, you know what, we screwed up, man. We screwed up. We jumped the gun on this kid, and like all of us did. I think many of us said, oh, how could this kid get his dog stolen? Now he's going, why would a pro athlete have to steal from a story? Well, you know, it's hard for us to fathom. Well, you know, people make mistakes, and the Cowboys have done it a few times. So I don't think there's anything wrong with admitting it. Now, to me, you look like more of an ass clown when you sit there and try to deny it. I don't get it in any walk of life society why it's not okay to screw up once in a while and admit it. Because now you've got to chase the lie all around. Now, all year long, all the time, you're going to have to always say, well, he wasn't part of it. We didn't screw. I mean, you try to pretend we're doing what's best for the organization. Of course you're doing what's best for the organization. You're not going to talk about it because everybody in the world, God himself and everybody watching, knows you guys screwed up. But it's not okay. Take it. And what's wrong with saying we apologize for bringing the kid back? I mean, I don't get why you can't do the right thing. I just never understand that. I don't get it.
Sean Salisbury with us. Sean, speaking of the right thing, a study put out yesterday, I'm sure you've looked at and read quite a bit about, Journal of the American Medical Association, talking about CTE, and it's pretty damning. 110 of 111 samples that played in the NFL had some form of CTE. And Sean, we go back a long way. We've had long, long talks about the after effects of playing the NFL. You've told some stories that make my hair stand up on the back of my neck of some of the things you've gone through with your body. And looking at the breakdown here, of the 111, seven were quarterbacks. But I'm guessing a guy like you, that doesn't matter. When we hear the story, Sean, we're at 50,000 feet. Katie and I, shockingly, never played in the NFL. So we see a story like that, and we feel empathy. You see a story like that. Obviously, you're a broadcaster. You have to talk about it. But I'm guessing there's a little bit extra there for you as well because you did have an NFL career.
Yeah, and you know what, guys? And the first thing people say, well, they knew what they were going, getting in. You know, they were getting into when they played. Yeah, we knew it was physical and a brutal game. But so does a construction worker who knows that he's got to walk on scaffolding two stories above, and he may fall off. And when he falls off and hurts his head, it's not like we say, well, why'd you get into being a construction worker? We say it's an unfortunate set of circumstances. And I don't know if all those players got CTE from NFL, college, high school, or in the seventh grade. I don't know. And I know, but it's an alarming statistic. And I know you can skew statistics good towards that way or against it, depending on what side of the fence you sit on. I sit on the fence of let's just try to find an answer of how we can fix it. That's what I do. I don't sit on the fence of, you know, people going out there and some guy who's never had a concussion being a part of this and going and running for money. I don't say, man, he won't be able to because he'll be tested. But it's an alarming. I always say err on the side of caution when it comes to people's health. It's scary because I've seen players. I mean, Junior Seau is one of my best friends. And I mean, you know, I you see what it's done to him. Now, is that the only reason people at times are suicidal? No. Guys lose paychecks. Guys aren't in the limelight. There's nothing that we will ever do as a former football player, and I know this is a fact because I've lived it and I talk to guys all the time about it. There's nothing in our careers that we will ever do that will give us that excitement, that thrill, that competitive, that sitting in the locker room, that the camaraderie and the competition. You can't do that again. I've been in broadcasting for you. You can be a coach. That's great. And you may find something you'd love to do more, but you'll never have that feeling again. It doesn't ever get better competitive-wise or that feeling when you're done playing, and most of us are done playing in our early 30s, most are done playing in their 20s. If you're fortunate to have a double-digit career like I was, then great. But when it comes to concussion, scary stat. We got it. The key now as we move forward, not pointing the finger at why somebody did this or where was the ignorance, because we were all ignorant to it 30 years ago. we're becoming more informed and more educated. The next thing is, how do we prevent it? And how do we prevent it? And how do we get the guys that are suffering through it, that don't know how to pick their daughter up from school day after day because they have to keep asking directions? How do we help them? How do we help their families? How do we stop this from the future and make sure that some seventh grader now, 15 years from now, knows how to say his name? So, yeah, it's an alarm. It's scary. And if that's the case, and if we do a bigger statistical study, what will that tell you? Will 3,000, will 2,975 of them have it? And I don't know when they got it because I'm not a doctor. Guys far smarter than me know better than I do. But I know it exists, and I know concussions are wrong. And it's not just quarterbacks or anybody else. It could be one concussion. It can be 15 concussions. Mm-hmm. It affects everybody different, but it is an alarming statistic, and one, if we're not taking notice of as an NFL, as a players association, as a public, then we're making a huge mistake and doing a disservice to everybody, to the families of the players, to the fans who watch the game, and to the NFL, and to the people who are a part of it.
Now, Sean, according to the doctor that conducted this study, the majority of the brains that they studied in this of former NFL players, now there was college and high school included in there as well, 111 of them were NFL players. The majority of those NFL players played between 1950 and through the 1990s. Do you think that it would be different, that the NFL has made steps in the right direction, including how they protect players as well as the equipment upgrades, that it would be not as severe, the percentage of players that have CTE?
Okay, I sure hope so. You would think so. Like in anything else, our cars from 1950, mm-hmm. we get better gas mileage now. Like our, any of the houses that are built, well, maybe not. Maybe we cut corners on that. But airbags,
things like that, I see what you're saying.
Well, technology, for instance. Technology. Back in 50, I mean, you talk to kids now, they don't even know what a phone booth is. So things have improved, obviously. That doesn't necessarily mean that we like it more, but it's improved. I would hope that, and that does not shock me, that from the 50s and the time I played to the 90s, you know, through the 90s, that's where the majority of that study, that those people played in that time. I would hope that guys are playing in 2010. Are more protected. We've changed the rules. Heck, we're close to playing touch football at times on our quarterbacks. I'm not being facetious. I mean, we protect them very well. The shots to the head still happen, but equipment's better. The way we go about our business is better. We penalize guys and fine them more, so they're more apt to stay away from it. Yet then the other side is, well, for the guys that played in the leather helmets who weren't using their heads, how many of those guys were concussed? So I think it goes both ways. But yeah, if we're not, if the statistic is the same now that 100 out of 101 or 99 out of 100 players are concussed and have CTE that played in the NFL, if we did that a broader study and it was, you know, 1,450 out of the 1,500 a year that played for 2 years or more, then obviously we're doing wrong. So I would hope with technology, with protection, with equipment, with education, that we're doing more. And the NFL, obviously, with lawsuits, sure as hell doesn't want it to be 8 million guys coming at them. So it's just, it would seem fit that we're doing a better job of it because we're smarter now. I mean, in 1960, nobody cared and nobody knew. When I played, heck, in the 80s and 90s, when I had a concussion and did it and went back in a game, we used smell and saw. I'm not blaming anybody.
Yeah.
I didn't want to come out of the game. It's nobody's fault.
Right.
We used the ammonia and the smelling salts on the sideline to wake ourselves up in between series to go back in.
Yep.
That's how you dealt with a concussion. And that's the honest to God truth. So it's players' fault too. Well, you know, it's that macho image. Hey, I'm not coming out again, especially if you were a backup that got a chance to start. And you get hit in the head. You say, hell, I'm not letting anybody know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be pulled out. This is my chance. And so there's a lot of people to blame, and we're all part of it. But that's not the point. The point is, how do we fix it, and how do we take care of those that are suffering through it and prevent those that may suffer through it down the road?
Going back to something you said at the beginning of this conversation, Sean, when you said, you know, yeah, we knew it was a rough game going in. It's interesting. We were taking a little bit of a look at this earlier, kind of the long con that has been going on. I'm talking about, we compared the headlines on ESPN versus the New York Times, and how the study isn't even on, it's not just on the front page of ESPN. It's not on the NFL front page in ESPN. And then the wording is different in the article. You see Jerry Jones just a year ago saying it's absurd to think there's a connection between CTE and the NFL. So when you see something like this going on, Sean, are you like me finding some similarities between what the NFL is doing with concussions? It smells a lot like what tobacco was doing.
Yeah, no, hey, like I said, the NFL for 10 years gave me, and quite frankly, my career gave me an opportunity to jump into this My education was in broadcasting at SC. It's what my degree's in. But the playing football gave me an opportunity to go a route that somebody didn't have to go to South Dakota to get a job at a local TV station. So the NFL has given me, quite frankly, about everything that I've ever wanted in my career and has led to some great things. I have nothing bad to say other than it's complete BS for Jerry Jones, who I like, to say that it's absurd. It's absurd to think that the NFL and concussions and CTE isn't part of it. That's for such a smart guy, that's such an ignorant, asinine comment by Jerry Jones. But, yeah, it starts to feel like it. And no offense to my former employer. They gave me 12 great years. But if that's not your lead story at times is Kim Kardashian or Khloe Kardashian and the what's the Cleveland Cavaliers guy name who disappeared in the playoffs?
Tristan Thompson.
You'll lead with that on some 6 o'clock dumbass Sports Center show. But man alive, you're going to tell me the guy's dying of CTE and statistics prove it. You're not even going to mention or put it on your NFL page. Well, let me just out of the irony, who runs Monday Night Football, and who has Sunday shows?
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. So please don't tell me it's not I mean, I'm not saying they do it completely, but there's a concentrated effort to protect your side. There just is, and you're protecting, and the NFL's protecting it. Jerry Jones is a big part of the NFL. He's an owner. But the thing that hurts, I think, the most for some is that here's a guy who owns a team, and those very players who bust their butt for you and the sacrifice, quite frankly, Tony Dorsett, even though he wasn't playing for Jerry Jones, was a Cowboy, though, they've sacrificed, quite frankly, some of their lives to help you win championships or to help you be a part or help you to own a historic franchise. And you're going to tell me that it hasn't been proven that some sort of CTE has come from, like the Junior Seau's, from concussions and from playing in the NFL. It's absurd for him to even say it. And when you say something like that, it automatically tells me that there is, like you said, a tobacco. It's like, let's make sure we protect something. So, yeah, and that's why you start to say, well, what do I lend credence to when somebody brings out a story? Well, we'll talk about some celebrity owning a team or a celebrity dating a celebrity or a basketball player. But, man, let's stay away from something that's real-life stuff. Yeah, it reeks, but what are you going to do about it other than stay the course and try to continue to inform people and protect those who go through it? And quite frankly, protect the league, too. The league deserves to be protected as well. They've given us a lot. But instead of working against each other, I don't understand why we're not working for each other. It makes no sense to me.
1 to 5 p.m. our time, SB Nation Radio, BN Sports USA. You can watch them on TV. Sean Salisbury doing all kinds of great stuff out there and still finding time each week to spend with us. We always appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
My pleasure. Talk to you guys next week. Thank you.
Have a good one, Sean.
You got it. Sean Salisbury. And follow him at Sean Unfiltered on Twitter. We'll take a break. When we get back, Sacramento Bees' Matt Barrows will open up 49er training camp, which technically opens up tomorrow. First practice on Friday. We'll check in with Matt, who is the most connected media member, I think, for everything 49er. We'll look at the offseason and what they're doing, the competitions in camp coming up, including Reuben Foster, guy they would have picked third. Looks like his shoulder's a lot better than people thought. We'll take a break, come back and talk about that next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.